Hey there. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast. I am so glad you're here. This show is for leaders who care. Leaders who know that when things get messy, the way we communicate makes all the difference. Every week I sit down with incredible guests, founders, VPs, rising stars, to unpack real moments of today where communication matters. We talk about what works, what doesn't, and how you can lead conversations that create trust, movement, and momentum. Because in uncertain times like today, your words have weight. Let's use them well. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we slow things down just a bit to help you communicate with clarity, with confidence, with intention. Every episode is just 20 minutes long. It's jam-packed with practical tips to help you in response to our times today, what is happening in your work and in your world. Today, we have a topic that is difficult. It's heavy. It's geopolitical tension. We're talking about the military conflict, the civil unrest that is happening. I actually just looked at the news, and even if the episode is going to get aired later on, this is still going to be applicable to you. But I just saw that, you know, United States is poised, strengthening our military presence in Iran. And so we don't know what's going to happen. But all of this information impacts us as people, impacts organizations. And so today is a really important topic to help you as a leader to be able to navigate this tension within your organization to help your people be aligned and focused as much as possible. And joining me today, I have Kimberly Davis. She's a founder of Brave Leadership. She has a signature tool called Super Objective to help you, to help leaders in our world to mobilize with purpose, with courage. And I'm so excited to have her. Welcome, Kimberly.
It's so great to be here. I really appreciate you inviting me on. This will be an interesting conversation for sure.
I agree. And so when we're thinking about geopolitical tension, what do you think that that means for you?
I think it means all the conflicts that are happening and unfolding around the world. I mean, I don't think it's one specific thing. It's everything that is involving the people in the world. And because our workplaces are more and more blended in terms of people coming and bringing their gifts from all over the world into our workplaces, that means it's the tension that's happening right in front of us.
Yes. And so it's very complex, it's complicated. And so there's a listener out there, a busy person, and who has taken the time to listen to this episode today. What would you hope could change in their lives when they listen to this?
I would hope that they feel like they know that they can have an impact regardless of the situation. And own the agency, have the agency to be able to do something. And that's a really hard thing to do, particularly in these kinds of situations.
Oh, that is beautiful. Like just really owning the agency that they can do this,
Right.
even when things
Right.
are so challenging. And so when there's geopolitical tensions happening around us, around, you know, people are looking at their news feeds. People within the organizations probably are scared, or they may become less productive. Like, what do you think is happening within our organizations when there's so much tension outside of the organization?
Well, I think you've got two things happening. You've got the employee base that is filled with their feelings, and there might be conflicting feelings. Some people may feel one way, other people may feel another way. Some people may be conflicted about how they feel and what this means for them and what their perspective is, and they don't know what they believe. Some people may have very, very strong beliefs about something because they have history and experience that has led them to have very strong beliefs. So there's a lot of Strong emotions that are going on, fear, uncertainty, vulnerability, all of the very strong emotions. And then you've got the leadership that has the same human emotions because guess what? They're human. And yet they also feel a responsibility and have a responsibility to know how to advocate, navigate the situation. So having the responsibility when you are also feeling the feelings does not make the feelings go away. And if you're not real about that tension between the two, it's you're going to come off in you're going to end up masking yourself in a way that people won't understand. They'll think you don't care, they'll think you're unfeeling, they'll think you're avoiding it because you disagree with them. They're going to make meaning of what's going on because that's what we do. We're meaning-making machines.
Right.
And so not dealing with it creates as big of a challenge as dealing with it in a way that's not constructive.
I mean, you said something very interesting because I liked the description of the emotions that are happening, where you have people that are very strong on the emotions on one end, and other people who are on the opposite end of that emotion. And then you have everybody in between. And then some people are feeling lots of different emotions at the same time,
Right,
right? And
right.
so it's very complex. And then you have the leadership who doesn't know what to do, and they're human too. And then but how do you think that impacts the organization?
Well, all productivity comes to a screeching halt for sure. And I think, one of the biggest challenges we face right now is that these strong beliefs and strong emotions have essentially been weaponized in our culture. And because of that, then we start pointing fingers and we start blaming and we start judging, and that completely erodes the relationships in the organization, the trust in the organization. People emotionally are they're caught in the fight, flee, or freeze cycle. Their cortisol levels are high, so they're reactive, and essentially all constructive work, it becomes reactive work. And so the productivity erodes, and so does the quality of the work and the relationships, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and I think this is why I feel like this episode is so important. I'm glad you're talking to me about this because I think a lot of leaders don't stop to really dissect or really reflect on what is truly happening. And the geopolitical tension is just really not going to go away.
Right. And I think the truth is that so many of us are just in survival mode right now. It's survival and reaction mode. So the biggest challenge is how do you get yourself out of survival reaction mode? Because if you can't do that, then you can't get anything done. And that's essentially what's real.
And then, I mean, so let's we describe what is happening inside the organizations. Let's go to the leader, because we're all probably looking to the leader, whether the leader is doing anything or not. Like, let's go to the leader and let's give the leader some really, just a reflection of what might be happening. Because, like you mentioned earlier, you alluded to it. You, as a leader, we're human ourselves, and we should, of course, give ourselves our own compassion, and in leading the organization. However, what can we do as a leader to know what to do when things are ambiguous and there's tension? You know that all this is happening within your teams.
Well, I think one of the most important things that leaders can do is really ground themselves in what the impact that they want to have on their teams. And you have to fully recognize that you do have an impact. And I think that's something that we often forget. We get so focused on our own agenda, on our own emotions, on everything that's going on in our head, that we forget that everything that comes out of our mouth, every action that we take, the way we look at people, the way we show up in situations is going to have an impact. And that impact has a ripple effect. And so if we can get really clear on what is the impact I want to have on the environment? What's the impact I want to have on my direct reports or on my team if I'm more of a group person or organization or the culture? What is the impact I want to have? First of all, that requires ownership that you know you have an impact and the responsibility that goes with that for having the impact that you can have. So the very first thing to do would be to really anchor yourself in what's the impact that you want to have. And once you're clear on that, then one of the things I love that you said early on in the conversation, and your work is so much groundedness, is intentionality. So what's the what, you know, when you act, what's the impact you want to have, and are you acting with intention? Because a lot of times when we are acting in autopilot mode. We're just doing what we do, right? And if we can bring a mindfulness and intentionality to that situation and think about, well, what is the impact I want to have on this individual right now in this conversation? Well, do I want to create a safe space? Right. Then you spend you focus your attention on creating a safe space for that person, regardless of where the person is on the feeling spectrum, regardless of what they believe and how it might be different from yours. How do you create a safe space in that moment in time? So if you can get really clear on impact, it will help drive your actions. It will help you bring more intentionality into the situations you face. And the byproduct of that is your result. The byproduct is the relationship, the temperature lowering in the conversation, right? The byproduct is people feel safe in the relationship. The byproduct is they're going to be able to shift the way they focus their attention, and you're modeling intentional, purposeful action in the moment.
I love that. And how do you, in the moment when you create the safe space, like bringing that in, how do you have any recommendations on lowering the temperature if they're really charged with something?
Well, I think one of the first things you don't want to do is make them wrong. Because I don't know about you, but every time someone says, judges me, or I feel like they're making me wrong, or they're telling me to settle down, that just elevates things. So giving them a space to talk, empathizing with what's going on with them, not in a pretend performative way, but in a, so what I hear you're saying is, and you try to make meaning, you're really frustrated about this, or you're scared about this. And if you say that out loud, what they'll do is they'll say, no, I'm not scared, I'm mad. Right? They'll correct you, and then you'll have an in to, okay, so tell me more about that. Give them space to talk, because what happens is the emotion is really, really big. And if you can give them about 90 seconds to speak through it in a way that will lower that emotion, and they feel seen and they feel heard without being judged, then it will deflate that emotion, and you actually can have a logical conversation. But there is no logic that can take place while they're in that emotional place, and you have to be very realistic about that, and you also have to be understanding of your own emotions and what might be being triggered for you in the moment, right?
This might be okay. And so I'm going to turn it to the geopolitical. What if they're bringing in all the drama that is outside to the conversation, to their work?
So, I think it really depends on the situation. But I think you have to say out loud, I get that this is a really hard thing. I don't think you can pretend otherwise. I don't think you can say, but pack it away, bring it in your professional. That's not professional, because guess what? They're human. And there's this fantastic, I don't know if you've ever heard this metaphor before, but there's a fantastic metaphor that Dan and Chip Heath have in their book, Switch: How to Change Things When Change is Hard. And life is, today is all change. But in this book, they compare our emotions with this 3-ton elephant. So you imagine a 3-ton elephant walking into the room, and you can imagine the devastation that that 3-ton elephant's going to make. And then they compare our logic to the guy that's perched on top of that elephant. He's the elephant rider. Now, when the elephant and the rider both want to go in the same direction, everything's cool, right? But when the elephant wants to go in a different direction than the rider, who's going to win?
The elephant.
The elephant all day long, right? And so we can't pretend that the elephant doesn't exist. If we do that, we do it at our own peril, because it will destroy everything around you if you're not dealing with what's real. Now, I'm not saying that it's all about the elephant. That's not what I'm saying. But you have to have a deep respect for what's going on emotionally with the human beings around you, or you can't get anything done, and that's what's real.
Yeah. And so a lot of times it's just giving them, helping them to be seen, to be really heard, to be empathetic, for a time
And I
being.
think the other thing to really consider is to think about it from almost a needs assessment perspective. What does this person need from you to experience you as someone who's authentic, who is genuine, who's worthy of their trust, who they can rely on and believe in? And that's how I define authenticity, that they're genuine, worthy of trust, reliance, and belief. And if they experience you as authentically caring, if they experience you as authentic, then they'll be able to connect with you. But if they don't experience what you're saying and what you're doing as genuine, if they don't think that you're worthy of their trust, if they feel judged, then they are not going to lower the temperature. They're not going to feel safe in the situation. They're not going to talk to you about what's going on. So I think, bringing them into the conversation about, these are really hard times, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise. And at the same time, we have these things that we have to get done. What are your ideas on how we can accomplish that? Bring them into the conversation. You don't, I think one of the things that leaders forget is they don't have to have all of the answers, and they should not pretend that they're not human and that they and pretend that they're superhuman. I think the more that a leader can say, this is hard for me too. I'm struggling with this too. What it does is it takes down that mask, and instead you can connect human to human instead of title
Yeah, no,
subordinate.
that's perfect because I was thinking about the leaders, the CEOs out there that are probably thinking, I don't have time to listen to this person vent about all these other things. And so it's really great that you're finding a connection, how I as a leader can connect with the person, take down the mask, and connect with them in some way. And then you can transition them into, hey, I believe that we could do this together. I need your help. Let's do this together. What do you think about XYZ? What are some of the things that you have, solutions that you have about this project and this outcome?
And maybe reprioritizing some things. Maybe there's things that aren't as urgent
Urgent
as
for the
we had
person.
previously thought. And that allows us to make some space for the real emotions in the room, because the real emotions, if we're not dealing with them, they will win.
I agree. And so you're talking a lot about what we can say to people as a leader who has people that are emotional. But what about me if I'm a leader and I don't say anything? Is that okay? Like, when do is it okay that
Well, I think that's the thing is we have to remember that when there is an absence of information, and saying something is a form of information, right? When there's an absence of information, our brains are going to fill in that empty space. And it's often not going to fill in the way we want it to fill in, right? People don't always assume good intent. People will decide what you think, even without you saying something. They will decide what that means. That means you don't have the courage. That means you don't care. That means you don't like me. That means you disagree with me. They're going to make a meaning out of it. And we are responsible for the impact that we have, right? So if people are out there making meaning about what you're thinking and feeling about things, what's the impact of that meaning? Well, the impact of that meaning is eroded trust. The impact of that meaning is you're not going to be able to influence them. The impact of that meaning is they will emotionally hold back. The impact of that meaning is they will start to disengage. I mean, the impact of that meaning it snowballs to the fact where if you would have just said something,
Would have been better.
it would have been better off. But how you say it is important. How you say it's really important. And I think, one of the things that's really challenging in these times is if we're really clear about the impact we want to make, it shifts the way we look at things, because a lot of times we get really, I mean, I like for myself, I'm a very emotional creature. I have very strong beliefs about things. And I also know that what I want to do in the world is to create positive change. That's what I want to do, right? So if I go out into the world and shout my personal beliefs through my unfiltered bullhorn, right? I cannot create change because the people that actually I want to influence will not listen to me. They'll be like, talk to the hand, right? So you have to think, what does the person need from you to experience you as genuine, worthy of trust, reliance, and belief, to experience you as authentic so they can hear you so you can have an impact on them? Because if they cannot hear you, you cannot have an impact. And that is what's real.
I love that. So really being intentional and in what my audience needs. And when you see that they're starting and potentially creating stories, making things up, that's definitely the time to speak. And I also want to add that that's like the discernment as a leader, right? When is it time to speak? And but there are going to be times when you it's okay not to speak. Like, for example, if the organization, you have to really think, going back to your point, what is the impact that we want to make? If speaking is going to be too early, not enough information, like if speaking requires, it's going to cause more divides, cause more confusion, then it's probably better not to. So us as leaders,
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think there's always space to say,
I don't have anything. I don't have all the
I
information.
this I'm not going to pretend this is hard. This is easy. I'm not going to pretend that because this is not easy. And what we are all dealing with is scary. It's unsettling. We have a lot of different feelings packed into this, and I don't have the answers. And I promise you that I am searching for the answers, but more than likely, we're going to have to find the answers together.
Well,
And
yeah.
what that's
So I
going to
think if that,
require of us is coming together and learning to listen to each other and being curious with one another. And so I,
think
you
that the
know,
message has to be very clear, like in an
yes.
intention. So if you as a leader can take the audience there to that place,
Right.
that would be appropriate. But if I am a leader and I'm thinking I'm not there yet, I might
Yeah.
not be emotionally ready to deliver that
Yeah.
message yet. So,
Yeah.
discern and then know that what kind of impact you want to make, and then it's okay.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's absolutely right because we can't come in
If we're
as
so,
leaders emotionally hijacked and be able to serve. That's not possible. That's not
That's
possible.
okay, and that's
Yeah,
okay.
and that's okay. And you know what? Maybe that's if we circle back, maybe that's even the thing to say is say, I'm feeling my feelings right now, and I want to be there, and I want to be able to navigate this in a healthy way with you.
And
And
I'll get back to you
why, yeah,
if I can.
why not? Why pretend otherwise? Because it's in the pretending, it's in the masking, it's in the silence that all of the instability floods in.
I love it. I
Yeah.
agree. I agree. Over communicate?
Well,
Well, with
it's
intention, with
don't
intention.
be a, yes, be intentional. Allow yourself to be human in a way so with healthy boundaries in place, right? And I think that's something we also have to be careful of because if your boundaries aren't healthy, then you could be causing more damage than good. Right. So being able to know what is oversharing, personal oversharing, right, versus healthy vulnerability, there's a difference, right? And I think kind of the rule of thumb is if if this is something you would tell your psychiatrist, then that's probably oversharing instead of a close friend. But I also think you've got to be very careful about making people wrong without approaching with curiosity, because that could cause even bigger problems that were completely unintended.
So key, so key. Very helpful, Kimberly. And so I'm learning so much about just being a leader and then allowing ourselves to just be human. as we navigate these tensions that are all around us, these conflict and unrest around us. It's very helpful to remember to stay grounded, to be intentional with our message, to remember what is the impact that we make, and to remember that we do have impact. It has a
Yes,
ripple
and I think
effect.
that's so huge. And you know what? When you remember that you have impact, what's great about that is that you don't have to wait to have the impact, right? And I think some people think, oh, it's an all or nothing thing. But you know, you can have an impact on the very next person you come across if it's intentional. What's the impact you want to have? What's the impact I want to have on you right now? What's the impact I want to have on you who is listening right now? If I can be really intentional in that, that changes things. Because when you're not showing up with that kind of intentionality, then you aren't able to be and bring your best self to the situation.
I love it. And so, what is the one key takeaway that you would hope someone remembers?
Oh, it's really all about owning your own power and recognizing that you have an impact in every situation you face, whether you like it or not. And that's also where your power lives. So,
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much, Kimberly. It was so great to talk to you
this
about
has
this.
been a joy. Thank you so much. And we're all navigating this stuff together. So I really appreciate you having these hard conversations.
It is timely. So thank you. And thank you, audience, for being here. Remember, anytime you have opportunity to communicate, you also have a chance to connect and to inspire and to make a positive difference in the world. Until next time, I am your sister in Flow. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye, Kimberly.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in today. If this conversation sparks something for you, if you're thinking, we talk a lot in our organization and things still fall through the cracks, we're not getting the results that we want, I've got something for you that might help. It's called the Accountability Self-Assessment, and it takes less than 60 seconds. In one quick review, you'll get real insights as to why accountability and results are slipping on your team. And you'll walk away with a legacy accountability card. It's a simple one-pager framework to help you and your team move talk to traction. Because the legacy of you and your team is built more than just meetings. It's built on clarity, consistency, and follow-through. So grab it today. Go to speakandflow.com or click on the link in the show notes. It's free, fast, and built for busy leaders like you. See you next time. Until then, keep communicating with impact and momentum.